Amalek is next. We know who that is, right in your margin. Judges 12, verse 15, calls it the hill country of Ephraim. The tribe of Ephraim was given what we know today, the West Bank. It's the capital of the Palestinian Authority. There is Ramallah right there. And Philistia, you can see down to the left. I've got another verse for you. Because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of old hatred. Therefore, says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines. I will cut off from the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. Where was the Philistine major capital city? Gaza. And if you look in your Bible, the word Gaza is there. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This is going to happen sometime before Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, this coalition of countries and leaders, has that ever come against Israel before? Kind of. More on that in a moment. Let's finish our thought. And the end of verse 7, and the inhabitants of Tyre. That's easy. That's Lebanon. There's Tyre and Sidon up there. And hit the go button again. Here are their modern day designations. The Bible is saying, Israel is going to become a nation in one day. Did it happen? May 14th, 1948. The Bible also says this, that there's going to come a great battle between Russia, who's trying to sweep into Israel, an unwalled city, safe and very prosperous. But that can happen because that's not what Israel is today. They're not unwalled. They're not exactly safe. And though they have a bustling economy, it's not envious. What happens to Israel? That suddenly they expand their borders. Every time the Arabs come after Israel post-1948, what happens? They win and they expand their borders. Is Psalm 83 by the prophet Asaph, is it prophesying the final Arab-Israeli war? Everybody's been trying to bring peace to the region. One of the reasons I think they won't succeed is because it wasn't time for Psalm 83. And now I'm going to really go out on a limb. Everybody say speculation. Speculation. Yeah, speculation. What would happen if all of the Palestinians, backed by their huge Arab petrodollars, with the threat of nuclear military action, what do you suppose Israel might do? And if she did, would that then describe what happens in Elam, Iran, the terror in Jordan and the destruction of Damascus? And don't forget, we got the Hagarites, the Egyptians. Don't forget that the Bible prophesies at some point there's going to be five cities in Egypt speaking Hebrew. What if something went off in the Middle East? And what if nuclear weapons were discharged? Would that panic the planet? Did you know that World War III almost started in 1973 over a skirmish in this area? The 1973 Yom Kippur War. The superpowers had to get on the hotline and cool tensions in the region. It almost happened once. What if it happened again? And what if at any time during this process, the rapture of the church happens and the Christians are gone and the U.S. military is greatly diminished because there's lots of fine men and women who serve in our military who love Jesus, including in the Pentagon. I know this for a fact. And what if the world is in chaos? What are we going to do? And then somebody stands up and says, I can stop the whole thing. brokers a peace treaty with Israel that potentially they've run all the way into Syria. They've run all the way up into Lebanon. Damascus is gone. Ammon is gone. Five cities in Egypt are speaking Hebrew. And if this man of great political power shows up and says stop, and brokers and enforces a peace treaty with Israel and all of her erstwhile enemies. And so confident is Israel in this stellar politician, they have a hunch that he is not only just a real great guy, I think he might be our Messiah. Get on the rabbinical websites. What are you looking for in your Messiah? Not Isaiah 53, I can assure you. Whoever is going to give us peace and who will build our temple. Psalm 83 is future and is potentially close at hand. And what if then is when this man shows up? And what if the rapture of the church happens somewhere around here and the whole world is reeling? What's going on? And somebody steps up to the fore. I'll bring peace to the Middle East. And so completely trusting are the Jews that he is their Messiah that they dismantle all of their walls. They build their temple and begin their temple rites and rituals. And for the first 3.5 years, they think that he is their Messiah. Has anyone heard of a scenario somewhat similar to that? Daniel chapter 9. Let's hurry to the end. End of verse 7. With the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria has also joined with them. That's Syria. Or in these days, that could be Iran as well. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera and Jabin at the brook Kishon, says Asaph, who perished at Endor, who became as refuse on the earth. If you know that story, that's Judges 4. That's the 900 iron chariots that Deborah dispatches with a supernatural move of the Lord. Point being is, the Canaanites never bothered Israel again. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb. Yes, all of their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for possession. Yeah, that's continuing Judges 6 and 7. When 105,000 Midianites were killed by Gideon's supernatural move of the Lord. And Midian never bothers Israel again. Verse 13, oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, this coalition. As fire burns the woods and as the flame sets the mountains on fire, so pursue them, your tempest, and frighten them with your storm. We looked at that last week, what happens to all of these areas. Assyria, Iran, Egypt, and Jordan prophesied a complete destruction and defeat. Verse 18, that they may know that you whose name alone is the Lord, right in your margin there, Ezekiel 38, 27, and Ezekiel 39, verse 7, when the whole world knows who is the real God. The battle of Psalm 83 has not been fought before, or has it? Our final stop, if you don't mind. Are you all right learning something in church? Yes. About 150 years after Psalm 83, look what happens to a fellow by the name of Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon. And then hold your finger there with your eyes. Look over quickly to verse number 23. There's another player, Mount Seir. Mount Seir. Write Edom. So there's three pronounced players: Moab, Ammon, and Edom. And others with them, besides the Ammonites. So there's more than just these three mentioned. And they came against King Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "Uh-oh, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea," that would be the Dead Sea, "from Syria," that is to the north. So there are players from the north, there are players from the east, and there are players from the south, all coming against Israel, specifically here, Judah. And there at Hazazon, Tamar, which is En-Gedi, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. He didn't run to the UN. Verse 4, so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord, so he's right there next to the temple, before the new court. And he said, "O Lord God, our Father, are you not the God in heaven?" We sang that today. Is he God? Yes. Is there anything too hard for him? Who will stop the Lord God Almighty? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of all nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? What's the emphatic answer, beloved of the Lord? Nobody. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? You see, Jehoshaphat praying God's word right here. And they dwelt in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name's sake. And if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, remember when you told us at the dedication, when King Solomon dedicated it, we will stand before this temple like I'm doing, and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Write 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 15, which would include verse 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear you from heaven. I will forgive you of your sins and I will heal your land. Oh, if only Washington, D.C. would do this. Verse 10. And now here are the people, Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, and also whoever's coming in from the north, they're not mentioned by name, whom you would not let Israel invade when you came out of the land of Egypt. Remember that, Lord? But they turned from them and did not destroy them, and now here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude. Have you ever felt like that? Take a page out of Jehoshaphat's prayer journal. I don't have any power against this multitude, Lord. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Now all of Judah, with their little ones and their wives and their children and their fathers, they're there too, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, and all those guys there. And he's a Levite, and he is the sons of Asaph. 150 years before this, I can't say for certainty, but I wonder if one of these guys, the sons of the man who penned Psalm 83, wasn't waving the scroll. God prophesied this. And we're going to make it. I spit all over myself. I apologize. apologize to the first row. Got a little bit of a baptism right there. Little sprinkles, all it was. Verse 15. The prophet said, the son of Asaph. I wonder if tucked under his arm wasn't the freshly read Psalm 83. Listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose, everybody? When God does anything really important in the Bible, have you noticed there's always a dress rehearsal for it? Is the campaign of 2 Chronicles 20 a dress rehearsal for this? Like I said, what if this battle has already happened in miniature? Maybe we're gone, maybe we're not. Maybe we've been raptured, maybe we haven't. What if Israel does the same thing? Oh God! Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle isn't yours but God's. Now tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, that's just west of the Dead Sea, in a little place called Tekoa. For you Bible students, that should ring a bell. Amos, the prophet Amos, is from what city? Tekoa. And he has prophecy against who? The same nations as Psalm 83. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jurel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Number one, take your positions. In this case, Harvest Family, it was get off of the sofa. Get out of the gym a little early and come to the house of God and present yourselves for prayer, supplication, and intercession. And then once you're there, stand firm. Don't be hoodwinked into believing nonsense. Stand firm in what God has called you to do and to be. Then just watch. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Go out tomorrow against him, for the Lord is with you. Verse 18, and Joseph had bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord. Verse 19, then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites stood up and praised the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. By the way, sometimes it's appropriate to shout in the house of God. So they rose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. Write that down, write Amos. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, we would say. Believe in God's word. Believe what it says, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with those people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army. There's a time for missiles and weapons and defenses. And there's a time to say, praise ye the Lord. His mercy endures forever and ever. Verse 22, and they began to sing and praise. And the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, and the unnamed enemies to the north, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy themselves. And when he had made an end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Verse 25. Then Jehoshaphat and his people came up to the top. They were all dead. They had killed themselves. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, the precious jewelry which they stripped for themselves, more than they were able to carry, and they were 3 days gathering the spoil. Israel, in this instance, expands her borders again and is rich beyond understanding and becomes the perennial power of the neighborhood Is 2 Chronicles 20 a dress rehearsal for Psalm 83? Lord, these are your sons and your daughters, and it is my supposition, Lord, that you have been knocking on the door of every heart in this room for some time. And there are varying degrees of obedience and response here in this body this morning. Many, Lord, have completely given the steering wheel back to you. But then there are some in this room, Lord, who are here, and though they have heard that knock on the door of their heart, there are some that are reluctant to give you the steering wheel because they still are hanging on to the notion, no, I can do this. The Bible says very clearly, in your flesh dwells no good thing. If you try to operate outside of God's loving hand and obedience, it's going to end up like it always ends up, in death and destruction. Oh, come home, son and daughter of the Most High God, and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can cluck your tongue and sniff and snicker at what we've talked about today. But I will guarantee you, in some form, the events of Psalm 83 are going to happen. Israel is going to be expanded, and Antichrist will most definitely come on the scene. It will set the stage for what I believe the midpoint of the tribulation will likely see Ezekiel 38 and 39. You don't have to believe me, but tuck it away somewhere in your memory, would you? That if you survive the awful climate of the Antichrist rule by some miracle, and you see the events spoken about today, may you remember, this is the day of your opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. Can't you just save yourself the trouble? And right now, give your life to Him. Christians praying. It's really this simple. Jesus, I get it. Your substitutionary innocent death on the cross for my sin. The Creator of the heavens and the earth zipped up a human suit to pay for my sin. Now with my heart, I give you my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, and please, oh please, oh please, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if that was you this morning, and for the first time you've given your heart to Him, I want you to lift your hand. No one's looking around. Lift your hand. I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now do a great work in converting hearts away from a destructive lifestyle into your great body, the bride of Christ. And for the rest of us, Lord, I just pray, this is not to make people freak out. It's to make sense of what's going on across the world. The planet's not coming apart. God's plan is coming together. And we have a front row seat. And we have a roster of all the participants, and we can tell people around us, if we'll just open our mouths. You've saved me for this time, Lord. May I be a good and strong witness for you. In Jesus' name, and now all the beloved of the Lord said,